Taped from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And this week, we are going to do episode 11 from season 44, the episode from January 26, 2019, with James McAvoy hosting and Meek Mill musical guesting.
Yeah, musical guesting.
Musical guesting.
Still and sticking with that term.
I am. I like it.
God bless you.
Yeah. So first off, we should apologize that this is going up late.
Yes.
We recorded our usual time on Sunday.
Yeah, what happened, man?
We had technical difficulties. The dials were not adjusted the correct way on the soundboard, so the sound was very, very low. And
yes.
And when Frank Ablawi, our producer,
the Lorne Michaels of this podcast.
Yes, the Lorne Michaels of this podcast. He went in and he was like, hey, what's with the sound? I can't like boost it. I can't hear you guys. And we were like, crap. So we're back here on Monday night, late Monday night as we're recording this.
Yes.
To get this up because, damn it, we're committed.
Damn tootin'. Well, now we have our first official lost episode.
We do.
So now we're like a real podcast. They say you're not a real podcast until you have an episode that the audio gets screwed up and will never be heard by anyone ever.
Yep. We busted our lost episode,
that's right,
cherry.
It's like, you know how comics aren't comics until they had their first bomb.
Yeah.
Now we have our first.
We're like veterans now.
I know. We're like old pros. We're like Mark Maron's.
Yes. Yeah.
Pow.
Hey, folks. all right.
You good? Okay. Everybody good?
We're gonna dive into the show in a minute, but first we got some news. We got some exciting news
Our
world.
Nerd news.
Nerd news. last week, as you might remember, if you listened to the show last week, we ended up going on a big tangent, as we are wont to do.
This was a tangent to end all tangents.
It was. That SNL had a sketch called Tabitha, which got us to reminiscing about
Tabitha Soren
from MTV News.
I just said Tabitha Soren like just off the top of my head,
and then we were just like, oh, wow, I haven't thought of Tabitha Soren in forever. Let's look up what she's doing right now. Right. We found out she's a photographer now.
Yeah,
and she's like sort of reinvented herself. Has a whole new career.
Yeah,
and we got a kick out of that, and we jokingly said at the end of the episode, we should tag Tabitha Soren in this, or tweet this to her. And then like later on, I thought, well, what the hell? I'll find her on Facebook and I'll send it to her. She might get a kick out of it.
Yeah, you only live once.
And so I found Tabitha Soren on the Facebook, and I sent her a message and I sent her a link to it, and she responded. She was nice enough to respond.
Yeah, huh?
She said, I'll listen. Will I cringe?
Yeah, and I'd like to think do people send her cringeworthy stuff, I guess?
Well, I don't know. I think if you're in the public eye, and especially if you're a woman in the public eye, that's probably going to happen at some point.
Dudes are weird.
I explained, look, this came from a nice place. We just got a kick out of finding you and finding out what you're up to these days.
Yeah, we're decent folk.
And I told her, like, we don't talk about you until about 50 minutes in, so you don't have to listen to all that stuff beforehand if you just want to hear the stuff about you. And then she
cuts to the chase.
And then she responded later. She said, thanks, you two are very funny.
Boom.
So
we are in with Soren.
We're taking this as an endorsement.
That's right. We're Soren approved.
Tabitha Soren approved.
That's
kid
right.
Tested, Tabitha Soren approved.
That's right. So this podcast is good enough for Tabitha Soren. It's definitely good enough for you.
Absolutely. Even with our technical screw-ups.
Yes, even with that. That just makes us more endearing.
So please, give Tabitha Soren some love. Go follow her on Twitter. She's on the Twitter. She has a Facebook page. I believe it was Tabitha Soren Photography.
Yes.
As I recall, she has an exhibition coming up in Boston. If you're in the Boston area, go check that out.
Yeah. She's a friend of the podcast.
Friend of the show.
Yes, we hang out with celebrities now.
Very.
We're big time.
I mean, if you define hanging out as exchanging two messages on Facebook with them. Yes,
don't you?
We hang out with them.
That's how I do it. What, you hang out with people in like real life and not over the
internet? Not really, no.
Well, then,
Not really.
Oh, I didn't mean to. I got awkward.
It's fine. It's fine. That's my lot in life. We also...
Should get real.
We also, speaking of people saying nice things about the podcast, we got a couple more reviews on iTunes, which we always appreciate. Let's see. We got one from... Drucifer Jones, right. And the headline was tremendous. It's a 5-star review. It says this show has a tremendous premise. Excited well. I'm guessing autocorrect screwed them up and they meant executed well. They say check it out.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Drucifer.
So thank you for that. We appreciate that. And then another person by the name of MD4523. The headline was great companion piece to, I'm going to assume that's SNL. It's cut off there. Uh-huh. And it says they know their stuff and are a joy to listen to.
There you go.
So thank you for that.
Thank you, MD of random letters or numbers?
MD4523.
Yeah, it sounds like a Wi-Fi password.
It kind of does. It kind of does. So we appreciate that. And please, we encourage all our listeners to just, if you're on iTunes, give us a quick rating and a review, because that really helps boost up our profile and the algorithms. All the fun technical stuff.
Exactly. Boost us up. We think we got something good here. So, like, you know, put us out in there into the spotlight so we can be seen by millions.
And, exactly.
Maybe even make some money. God, I know. That's the pie in the sky dream. But let's hope, you know, you got to be in it to win it.
Exactly. But the really big news.
The big news
is we finally got ourselves a Twitter page.
They said it couldn't be done.
An official Twitter page. Our handle is at SNL Nerds Show.
Right.
So you can find us there at SNL Nerds Show.
Because somebody has SNL Nerds and...
Somebody else had that handle. It was somebody who reserved it in 2011.
Yeah.
And has not tweeted a goddamn thing.
Nope. No profile picture. No one follows her. She doesn't follow anybody. Her name's Sarah.
Her name's Sarah. We're calling you out, Sarah.
That's right, Sarah. Calling you out.
That's right.
And she just had the handle, not doing a ding-dang thing with it.
They just got it in 2011 on the off chance that 7 years later somebody would start a podcast by that name.
Yeah.
And try and take us for millions.
Sure enough, we did, but we don't need you, Sarah.
We don't play that, Sarah.
That's right. We don't deal with... terrorists.
That's right. We don't negotiate with terrorists.
God, that was the line.
That's fine.
It's late.
That's fine. It's only the second time we're doing the show. so we're excited by all that stuff, though.
Yes.
So, but we're gonna dive into recapping the James McAvoy Meek Mill show.
Right. Let's just do it.
Let's do this.
First cold open. Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson. Alex Moffat is Tucker Carlson on Fox News.
Yeah.
And we had Cecily Strong as Judge Jeanette Pirro.
Janine Pirro.
I really should learn this Pirro? Woman's name.
Yeah.
If Cecily's going to imitate this woman this much,
yeah.
Who I would have no idea who she was.
You shouldn't.
If it wasn't. Because not a Fox News watcher.
We lean towards the left here.
And
I'm going to say it right now, so we haven't seen. I don't know the character she's doing an impression of, but like her impression gives me enough to know that I probably wouldn't want to.
Not someone you want to know.
Not so much. Yeah. But I enjoy the impression. Like I get the gist of how the person is through
and,
that impression.
And I think Cecily's take on her, it's getting more exaggerated.
Yeah,
and
very much
that's
so.
Kind of fun to see the impression evolve.
Right.
And also
Kate McKinnon as another male politician, Wilbur Ross.
Mm-hmm.
They just
Secretary of Commerce, Wilbur Ross, the guy who said during the government shutdown, you should just take out a bank loan so you can buy your groceries and things like that. Because
how do they get into office, man? What is
don't know.
What is this?
I don't
what
know.
Is happening?
But I mean, it's always fun to see.
That's some let them eat cake shit.
It really is. It really is. Like, but it's always fun to see Kate McKinnon play yet another male in the Trump administration.
Does she have like her own bald wigs at this point?
She and like every Trump person she plays is basically like Gollum.
Yeah. It's just like a hunched over old man.
They're these demented elves.
Yeah. Like the old man in It's a Wonderful Life. What's his name? I can't remember. Just like a Montgomery Burns type of man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just what?
Potter? Old Man Potter?
Old Man Potter, exactly. Yeah. But like a Julian. She played Giuliani. She was Jeff Sessions. And now she's Wilbur Ross. And I'm sure there's another dude in there I'm forgetting.
But, yeah, we're forgetting a few.
But
it's Saturday Night Live.
It's her wheelhouse.
At this point, it's just an elaborate exercise to have Kate McKinnon cross-dress as often as possible.
Absolutely.
And we are for it. We are there for it.
We celebrate it. She did that one line I like where she said, oh, I don't understand why they could just have their horses attend public school. I was like, all right, that's a funny one.
I'd forgotten that.
We had our first celebrity.
Big celebrity cameo. We had Mr. Steve Martin.
Yes.
Who, SNL royalty.
Right. Playing Roger Stone.
Roger Stone recently. Arrested, indicted Roger Stone,
right.
And he's all made up. He's got the weird round glasses.
Yeah,
and he looked. I thought he looked eerily like Eugene Levy.
He looked Levy-esque.
Yes,
but when I first saw him, I thought it was for a minute. I thought it was Leslie Nielsen, but then I was like, oh wait, no, he's dead. Mm-hmm. Then I thought it was like, oh wait, is that John Goodman? Because John Goodman lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
But then once Steve Martin started to talk, and I was like, oh. John Goodman's voice doesn't sound like that. And then I got a little closer to the TV. It's like, oh, that's Steve Martin.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the end of that tale.
Okay. Okay. You
know, riveting.
And if you didn't get it with Steve Martin by actually recognizing him like I did.
Oh, all right. Excuse me.
That's right. That's right.
I can recognize Steve Martin when I see him.
the line that he had was, I'm just a normal and straightforward guy, which...
Yeah, I don't know if a lot of people got that.
It didn't get a huge laugh, I don't think, but I...
Oh, these millennials.
But, yeah. No appreciation for history.
These young people. Watch the old tapes.
Circulate the tapes.
The old so-and-sos.
So next we had the monologue. We had James McAvoy coming out. Comes out in a kilt.
Yeah, showing off them gams.
Yeah, he has some lovely calves. I'm just going to say it.
Yes, smooth and rude.
Yeah, we're not afraid to say it. We are secure in our masculinity.
Muscular calves, beautiful ankles.
Mm-hmm. Got nice. Lost in his eyes.
Nice and taut.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Darren had a little moment there.
I'm sorry. Wait, where am I? Okay.
It was a pretty good monologue. He talked about how he's constantly mistaken for Ewan McGregor, another Scottish celebrity.
I could see that. Like a lot of people just, Scottish guy. That must be him.
They get muddled in people's minds.
Yeah, it's like the same way people get Daniel Radcliffe and Elijah Wood mistaken a lot.
I can see that.
I remember hearing on a couple episodes like. They like each one of them say, "Oh yeah, they think I'm the other guy." But yeah,
I've heard like some celebrities they just give up and they start signing autographs as the other person
because
it's just easier.
Yeah, I could see that. I remember for a while like Zooey Deschanel kept saying everybody thought she was Katy Perry for a while.
Right.
I mean, she looks a lot like Katy Perry.
They look eerily like each other.
I mean, the old Katy Perry, like now her hair is all blonde and short. But yeah,
right.
Like it's one of those things people just like, oh yeah, you're the person who kind of I think is. And that's the end of that story.
Yep.
But yeah, monologue.
He had a nice line about Ewan McGregor. He says, "My eyes are blue and he's got more money than me," which is a nice
way to
compare them.
That's a no lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's the truth.
And he had a moment at the end where he lost his place on the cue cards and he just totally said, "Oh, I just totally lost my place," and he just rolled with it. I was impressed with that.
He powered through,
because that would be a really easy thing to rattle you.
Yeah, I know. Like, especially on live TV, in a kilt.
Yes.
In front of all those people.
In a kilt.
But he summoned his Scottish strength.
Exactly.
And powered on through.
He the spirit of Sean Connery just came to him and helped him.
I was going to say William Wallace from Braveheart.
That too.
Yeah.
I think they're the same person.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah, one and the same.
I mean, he's actually an immortal Highlander, right?
Is he?
Yeah, who? I think so. Sean Connery, right?
Because
he was in Highlander, so I'm assuming he's actually immortal.
That's not a documentary. I don't know if you
knew. It's not?
I don't know if you knew that.
Shit.
I made the same mistake too. I had to be... Oh boy, are you? Can you go on?
Yeah, let's just keep moving on.
Let's take five.
I'm just going to take some time to process that. Okay.
It's all right, man. We're here. We're all here. For you.
Our first sketch was kind of a favorite.
Yes,
for SNL was the Bachelor parody.
Yeah, this is the fifth time they've done this. Before they did it, it's always like blank hunk, some type of hunk. So they've done this when Blake Shelton hosted. They called it Farm Hunk.
Okay.
Then they did it when Felicity Jones was on it. They called it Beard Hunk because the guy had a beard.
Nice.
Jessica Chastain was on it. They did it then. It was called Car Hunk because the guy was like a car aficionado or something like that. And they did it with Ronda Rousey was on, and they called it Bland Man because the guy was like super bland, middle of America.
Breaking the hunk pattern there.
Yeah, I know. I think that was the first time they did it. Then they
followed discovered. With the hunk pattern. Okay.
So this one is called Virgin Hunk.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, guy's 26, who's a virgin. Of course, the whole thing, the huge parody.
That happens.
It happens. No, look,
that happens.
Look, we're not here to judge.
That happens. Tina Fey didn't lose her virginity until she was 26.
Really?
That is what she says.
Huh.
She is upfront about it.
That sounds... God bless her. Look at that.
That's,
see?
Yeah.
No shame.
Way to go, Tina Fey.
Yeah. I like her more and more.
I know. Now happily married with two kids.
See, there you go. See, there's hope, people.
So.
There's hope. If you don't get it wet early, you can get it... Whoa. I mean... I'm trying to be positive.
If you don't get it wet early.
Yeah, it'll happen later on. That's what I'm saying.
You went there. Okay.
Yeah. I saw it on a bumper sticker. Maybe it.
If you don't get it. How does that encouraging phrase end? If you don't get it wet early.
You can get it wet later. Maybe it wasn't a bumper sticker.
We maybe need to workshop that a little more.
I didn't say it was a good bumper sticker. I just said it was a... it's late, people.
So anyway, he's playing a 26-year-old virgin.
Yes.
And this is a rapid fire sketch where all the women are coming in and over, and it's a parody on The Bachelor where everyone's like just trying to steal time with the guy and make an impression.
Can I steal him for a sec?
Can I steal him for a sec? Hi.
I miss you.
This is nice.
Yeah. And like all the women just have really quick one-liners, like
go ahead.
Like Cecily said, so I'm 31 so that means I'm almost dead. And it's like, just a lot of rapid fire, quick one-liners to show that they're all kind of kooky. But at the same time, it's kind of like a good trope to go to.
Yeah. And something I liked that was totally uncommented on, every woman is in a sparkly dress.
Yes.
They're all in sparkly evening gowns, which was funny. I found that amusing.
Absolutely. And there was one where Heidi Gardner came out in a sash.
Oh yes,
and she had her hand over the word, so you couldn't read it totally. And then the James McAvoy said, "Oh, I see you're in Miss Virginia," and she said, "Well, almost." And then the side said, "Mrs. Vagina."
Mrs. Vagina.
Ms. Vagina. Oh, okay. Ms. Vagina.
Ms. Vagina. Because she's a liberated vagina.
So is there a Mr. Vagina? And also, Egon Rodham came out, and she was one of the women. She said, so I'm black, and I have short hair, so I'm just going to say goodbye.
Yes. And Cecily had a great unexpected line where she said, I mostly do PR, which means Puerto Ricans.
That got a big laugh from me. I was like, whoa!
Very unexpected. I like this sketch. I thought it was solid.
I did, too.
There was another bit where Kate McKinnon, she's trying to get A.D. Bryant away from the Virgin Hunk.
Yes.
And so she just literally rattles her keys in front of A.D.'s face, and then A.D. goes away. It was a cute sketch.
I like it.
They don't drive this into the ground too much, so I'm always happy to see it come back.
Absolutely.
I could easily get sick of it if they did it like every month or something like that, but they do that just enough, I think.
Yeah, just enough.
Unlike some other sketches, we could say.
We will get into that.
But let's see. What do we have next?
Mr. H.
Mr. H. This was a pre-tape of a film segment.
Yeah. It follows the sort of the trope of the inner city teacher wanting to help his students out, so he goes to where the students hang out, like on the street corner, he's selling drugs.
And it was Chris Redd as the student.
Chris Redd as the
Marcus.
Student. Yes. And James McAvoy was, approaching him, and he's... The student was like, so what you doing here, Mr. H? You trying to tell me I could apply myself, and I'm one of your greatest students. You can't help me. And he's like, you're trying to tell me I'm the type of genius, I'm the best student. And of course, McAvoy was like, you're not a genius.
That word's thrown around too much, too casually these days. And then we find out over the course of the sketch that Chris Redd's character, he's scored 880 on his SATs. 880 out of 1600.
Yeah. I mean, it took me a minute because, like, I haven't taken SATs in a while. So I was like, oh, 880 is good, right? And then they said, oh, wait, no, it's actually not good.
That's quite bad. And then he's dealing drugs and he has to make change out of 100 and he gets out his phone calculator so he can figure out to give 40 back for 60.
Yeah. And the guy's buying the drugs off says, it's 40. I gave you 100. Just give me back. Give me 40 back.
Yeah. You have to get your calculator for
that? And then the twist at the end is that the teacher was actually not there to help out the student. He's actually there to score some shrooms for a bachelor party.
Exactly. So and
there you go.
Yeah, I like this. This was cute.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's all right. It was
a good... I don't have too much else to say about it, but I thought McAvoy and Chris Redd were both good in it.
Yeah, they're both game. They're both good. It was all right.
Both solid. Let's see. Our next sketch.
The airplane.
We had a crashing plane. We had Mikey Day and Heidi in the cockpit.
Yes.
And they call into air traffic control.
Right.
And they get Kate McKinnon. She's Costco air traffic control, I guess, because of the air traffic controllers on
Costco
the street.
Or Glasgow or
Glasgow. That makes much more sense.
Yeah, I'm about to say
I heard Costco.
I think you said
I was thinking it was like discount air traffic controllers.
Costco. Wait, they have their own airline now?
Okay, well, this kind of ties in with the joke of the sketch, was that they have impenetrable Scottish accents.
Yes.
And since McAvoy is genuinely Scottish...
He can, like, not, you know, kick his Scottish up a notch.
He's broguing it up.
Yeah, he brogued it.
Yeah.
And he's brogue, like, up to 11.
Take a deep breath. You know, did you look at the windy?
Yeah.
But much more uncomprehensible.
Take a look at the brown Oreos on the facial wheel.
So very Scottish, lots of Scottish slang. And the people in the cockpit cannot understand him at all.
It's like, did you look at the windy? What, did I go to Wendy's? Well, no, I didn't. And there was another thing that they did where, like, the people in the plane, they were part of Kylie Jenner's kind of PR team or something like that.
Right.
Which is weird. It didn't, because they really didn't play into the sketch at all.
Yeah, I guess that was just maybe their shorthand for being young, clueless people or something.
I guess. I don't know. But then you have that, and then you have the Scottish brogue thing, so it's like...
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess the Scottish brogue thing, that's like the most important part of the sketch, so like this whole Kylie Jenner thing didn't really... I mean, you don't need it, so why even have it? It's just like, I don't know.
It just stuck
in my craw.
But I liked... I'm sorry that's sticking in your craw.
That's okay. That's about right.
We'll try to extract that from your craw later on when we're...
My craw is fine.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Stay away from my craw!
But I did like... They had Kenan Thompson come in, as they usually do when a sketch... It's starting to sag. They bring Keenan in.
That's right.
He's like their secret weapon.
That's right.
And he just came in as a guy, and he was like, yeah, I spent like a semester in Scotland. I can understand him. And I sit down, and then he hears McAvoy, and he's just like, nope, I'm out.
Nope, can't do it. that made me laugh to that. It was like, oh.
That was very cute.
Just
that
a
was
little bit of Keenan.
And then the attack at the end, they connected to Welsh air traffic control.
And then they had Beck Bennett speaking a thick Welsh accent, and they're like,
yes.
No, we can't do this.
Yes,
And there's like, and there's just aim for the water,
and as you know, it was cute. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it's all right.
I'm saying everything is cute, but
yeah,
it was a cute show.
That was that's pretty much the theme of the whole show. It's all right.
Next, we had this is something I actually just rewatched when I was waiting for you to come into the studio. I was like, I'm going to refresh my memory on this one. This was
look at you doing homework.
This was Leslie Jones doing a rap about living on the Upper East Side.
UES.
UES represent.
Chill.
She was just talking about how she's lived in a lot of, you
not
know,
great.
Lower, yeah, not great places. Yeah, Bed-Stuy.
Compton.
I think she said Brooklyn, too.
Well, Bed-Stuy is Brooklyn.
Oh, okay. Well, that shows what I know.
So white. So
deeply ashamed.
So, but no, she did say Compton, though.
Okay.
And Compton's notoriously not good.
Right. But she's just talking about how nice it is and how
yeah,
cool,
yeah.
The Upper East Side is.
Yeah, and, you know, the lovely white people and coffee and and the like.
And German bakers.
German bakers, yeah.
McAvoy.
McAvoy raps in German.
Yes, talking about how he's got people waiting for his croissants.
Yeah.
going down the block.
I'm sure the word strudel was mentioned there once or twice.
I don't think it was.
What?
I don't think it was. I don't remember strudel being mentioned.
Missed that opportunity. Seems
like an oversight.
Missed opportunity.
But I think...
Writing crew, hire me. That's
but I think my favorite part of the sketch where she calls Kate McKinnon and she's like, hey, you think you got it going on the West Side? Let me tell you all about the UES. And Kate McKinnon's like, no, I'm just home with my cat. I got a warm cat. I got a blanket. I've got Netflix. And Kate McKinnon's like, I'm just going to stay home with my cat.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. That was a nice little way to kind of break it up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Staying home with my cat.
And I'm not a cat person, but Kate McKinnon seemed like my spirit animal in that scene.
I think she's all our spirit animals, man.
I was just like, I did not think I could love Kate McKinnon more.
Yeah.
But damn it, this bit had a way for me to do it.
Is there nothing she can't do?
Even when she's staying home with her cat, she's charming as hell.
Damn straight. I mean, my lord.
But I was impressed with this. I thought it was a really funny thing, and I'm not usually a big fan of the stuff Leslie Jones does, but I think this is literally one of the best things she's done on the show.
Ooh, wow.
I'm going to say it.
High praise. Because
I watched it for a second time, and I was like, yeah, this is good. This is solid. It holds up.
Nice. Yeah, I think they're starting to write a little bit more better for her. Like, for a while...
Yeah, better.
Is that the way to say it?
It's an incorrect way to say
it. It's late, people. It's late. Yeah. But people are getting it wet, and it's late. so the best way... I mean, the people are writing better stuff for her.
Yeah.
There, yeah. Because, like, before, I think we were kind of frustrated, because she just kind of put in the pocket of, you know, just, you know, angry black women screaming loud.
Yeah.
You know,
and that gets old.
Yeah, very much. So, like, it's ever since, like, the Weezer sketch, like we mentioned, they seem to be kind of being able to know, like, more, like, what her personality is and what she can do more.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and that's great.
She's getting some more shades a character to play.
A little bit more, shows more range.
Exactly. So that's nice to see. She's having a really good season. So kudos to you, Leslie Jones.
Huzzah. Focus group for Charmin. Another focus group sketch.
Literally a week after they did another focus group sketch.
Yeah, with the
Ken Instagram, the Barbie and Ken.
The Brosnahan.
Yeah.
But this is with like four people. And the Barbie was...
Oh, I take back everything I said.
It was with three.
Oh, right.
So it's like...
Sure.
It's like a different thing, man. You know?
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We honestly don't have too much to say about
this. We really
this one,
don't. I mean, it was all right. I mean, you could tell, like... I mean, McAvoy tried to... I mean, he was game. He had that Philly accent. I'm assuming it was a Philly accent because he had like a Eagles shirt on, but it was a weird, because like at some point it sounded kind of Philly, but then it sounded kind of Californian. The accent was kind of odd, but like he was bringing energy. And,
well, you're dissing his accents look now?
Yeah, I mean, he's...
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Wow, Darren Patterson.
Look, I've never acted in a movie, and I don't know anything about how accents are done, but I feel like I'm qualified to, you know, critique a working actor's accent. So,
okay.
There you go. So, yeah, okay. McAvoy, you know, step it up. Maybe take a class. Hey, man, I'm here to help you.
But this was basically the same formula as the Barbie Ken Instagram thing, where they're trying to do a focus group and find out the stuff they can use in their advertising, and all the people are clueless to various degrees.
Yes, Kate McKinnon's like a super woke white woman
who like feels guilty for being white. She's like, she was like, I was born white, and I still feel guilty about that.
Right. As you should.
Keenan was
like
he was a very perverted guy.
Yeah, he had like a long like Jerry curl and like kind of he had the same glasses that like Steve Martin did when he was Roger Stone.
Sure, they got it. I mean, those glasses ain't cheap.
That's right.
They're very fashionable glasses.
Kyle Mooney was in it too.
Mooney was also there.
Yes.
And
James McAvoy.
McAvoy was always suggesting like other things they could do for the Sherman commercial.
A lot of crude things, like, you know, the Bears would be banging in a airplane bathroom or something like that.
Right, right. Yeah. But the Sherman keeps him so clean that his wife doesn't know that he's been stepping out on her with another I guess, with another bear?
I guess so.
Did they specify who the bear was cheating on the first bear with?
It got weird. I don't know. I don't know. I was like...
I'm not into the whole logistics about the bear affairs.
Bear affairs.
So anyway, that was that sketch. That was a thing that they did.
Yeah, we were not wild about it.
No. But next we had the musical guest.
Meek Mill.
He's a rapper. He's a person who raps.
He's a rap man.
What they call a rapist.
Rap easy.
What?
Because it's the way you say it. It sounds very close to the wrong thing. The rap, like, let's not get into it.
Okay.
He is a rap artist.
A rapist, for short.
R-A-P-I-S-T.
What is wrong with that? He's a rapist.
Yeah, he's a rap. Let's say rapper. Let's say that.
If you want to do that, sure.
Let's do that.
Okay.
So he's a rapper from Philly, and I didn't know much about him, but he's kind of known for his, TMZ-ish type of stuff off of the behind the mic stuff. Like he dated Nicki Minaj for a number of years.
Okay.
He got into a huge public beef with Drake.
Haven't we all?
Yeah. Really? Like, me and Drake, we're still not cool.
Drake and I have never been the same.
Right.
Since we had our beef.
What was it about?
I don't want to get into it.
It's very personal. Oh, boy.
He knows what he did. I'll just say that.
Wow.
I will say that.
Okay. Well,
I'm just going to leave it there.
Whoa. Wow. Just keep it on wax, son. So, I don't know where that came from. So, with the beef that Meek Mill had with Drake, he basically called out Drake saying he doesn't write his own rhymes, which in the hip-hop world is a huge no-no, it's a big affront. And, Meek Mill was like, oh, his stuff was written by such and such and so-and-so. He has ghostwriters. And that was a huge thing. And also Meek Mill, he did some little bit of jail time for violating his parole. And he also recently started a... Where did I write it?
Checking his notes.
Here we go. Yeah, he started actually with Jay-Z. He launched this prison reform organization for criminal justice reform, which is a huge thing.
That's cool.
Yeah, because Meek Mill's been like in and out of the system, and so he knows how it works and how it can be unjust for a lot of people, so he wants to make a change in the world.
I like that. That's very cool.
That's great. So all that to say, his performance was okay. on this show, it was fine. Like he came out with Fabulous, also, and
because we had Brooklyn in the house and Philly in the house.
Yes.
He said, and I was like, Jill. Okay, I guess this other fellow is from Brooklyn.
Yes, this other rap artist.
Rap. That seems like a really wordy way to say
rap,
it.
Rapper. There you go. There you go. See. If I can change, you can change.
All right.
We all can change.
Ooh, we're going Rocky IV.
Hearts on fire. So, yeah, the performance are okay. It was kind of, I hate to say, it was kind of like lazily doing it. He didn't seem to, he had some energy, but not a lot. He had some dancers.
He had a couple backup dancers in the bodysuits.
Yeah, they were all right. I mean, the performance
I enjoyed watching the ladies. I'm not going to lie.
Hey.
Not going to lie. They had some nice moves.
Mm-hmm. Hachimama.
I had it going on.
Ooh la la. It was all right though. It's kind of, I don't know, it seemed kind of what he seemed to just be going through the motions.
Now you said last week you were going to try and listen to like the full album by every new musical guest that we come across that we're not necessarily as familiar with.
Right.
Did you do that for Meek Mill?
I listened to like half of it and I was like, "All right, I get it." And that was about it.
I got the gist.
Yeah, no, I liked some of them tracks okay, but I mean, for the most part, it is like, I don't know, there's something about it that's like missing for me. It didn't drag me. It's like he kind of raps in a way I grew up with, like, you know, hardcore hip, you know, East Coast hip hop. He's not like the new mumble rappers that are right now, which I really can't get into. So I could get into his stuff. His stuff is okay, but it's just like, I don't know, it's all right.
But he's doing cool prison reform.
Yeah, that I applaud. So, you know. Keep on keeping on, Meek.
All right. So that was Meek Mill. Next.
Yeah. Keep on rapping here.
Keep on being a big old rapist.
Yeah. So the next one is a Weekend Update. With, of course, Mr. Colin Jost and Mr. Michael Che.
Michael Che.
Che.
Chai.
Like gold chai.
So, and you know, once again, I mean, the big problem Weekend Update has these days is there's just not very much going on in the news to comment on.
No.
It's just, we're you know, the whole country's on just a real even keel.
It's pretty quiet. We're
not a whole lot of dramatic stuff. It's not like we have.
We're doing great.
An insane Cheeto person running the whole show.
No, that would be insane. Who would do that?
Can you imagine?
Right?
Right?
Like if we like elected like a reality show game show host for
I know, what? Right?
Oh my God. Oh, let me just go vote for this person who's a millionaire who doesn't have any political experience whatsoever.
That won't possibly bite us in the ass.
It's a good thing we didn't do that.
No, thank God.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
Everything's A-okay. We're all going to live forever.
So they were talking about stuff like the government shutdown. And you know, because on Saturday, they came to an agreement to temporarily end the government shutdown for 3 weeks.
Yes, 3 weeks.
And people are crowing it like Nancy Pelosi got the better of Trump.
Yeah.
And Jost had a nice line. He said, like, usually when a woman bothers Trump this much, he has to pay $130,000 to make her go away.
Oh!
Which, boom.
Burn!
Yeah. So that was a good line. I like
that. That's a good line. It's a nice burn. Burn, baby, burn.
And I like how Michael Che, and I've said this before, he's always got a cool take on what's happening in the news that is like totally unlike anybody else's take.
Yeah, absolutely. He's good. He's good like that. He has like an insight where you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah. And he just puts a twist on it. He's really good at that.
Yeah. Cause I mean, especially like on a show like SNL, like most people mostly go for like the more liberal take, but like Michael Che will go for a take that both liberals and conservatives will be like, oh, all right. Like it's neither liberal nor conservative, but it's like interesting.
Yeah, he doesn't really follow along party lines. He just it's tough for us to describe, but yeah.
Once you see, you're like, oh, okay,
that's a Che take.
Yeah, Che take.
And let's see, he said the president is one tweet away from declaring a state of emergency and bringing back slavery, which
this podcast is going to get a lot more awkward if that actually happens.
It will. I'm gonna have to start a whole underground railroad thing.
I'm gonna
have to smuggle you. We're in the north, so
yeah.
Hopefully you'll be okay, but I don't know.
Here's hoping, man.
I'm gonna have to get a whole Harriet Tubman thing going on.
Harriet Tubman thing.
Yeah,
you're gonna have your hair up in a wrap.
Well, not specifically that look. Oh, I was talking more about her actions and what she
in my
she
mind,
had done.
I think you actually dressing up as Harriet Tubman. So you're,
I don't
you're
think
not.
That, I don't think that would be a good thing for me to do.
I'd rather you didn't.
I think people would get the wrong idea from that.
Between that and the rapist thing, I'd just rather you not do any of that.
I think just as a general rule of thumb, I should not attempt to integrate myself too thoroughly into black culture.
No.
I mean, because it will not go well for me.
I can't protect you from that.
No. Should you.
I can only do so much.
No,
I can't.
Nor should you.
I mean, I can. The people at the meeting will just have a fit.
Sure.
So what were we talking about?
I forget. let's see.
Oh, Michael Che, he was talking about other things. Mm-hmm. He had that joke about Roger Stone. Mm-hmm. How he looks like he pays black dudes to bang his wife. And then
he Googles Roger Stone, and apparently he got thrown off of the Bob Dole presidential campaign. I guess this was in like 96.
Right.
For asking black dudes to bang his wife.
And I was like, did Che just blow the lid off of this story that I don't remember at all? No.
That should be BuzzFeed's job. But,
yeah, exactly. I'm surprised no one followed up with that. I
don't know. I still haven't Googled it myself, but he assures us that it was true.
Okay. I'm just afraid of what will pop up on my computer if I do that. But
you have to be very careful on how you Google Roger Stone black
oh no
his wife. That'll get you on a list.
Don't do it at work.
Yeah, don't.
At
yeah,
the very
not
least.
For work safe, you guys.
Lord no. NSFW.
Let's see what else we had. Chris Redd make an appearance as Soulja Boy.
Yes.
Am I saying that correctly?
Yes, Soulja Boy.
Soulja, because it's Solda.
Soulja.
God, I'm hopeless.
I'm
going to blame that on autocorrect.
Oh boy.
You were saying before that this was like a parody of an appearance that Soulja Boy did.
Yeah.
On
the morning show. It was okay. Or the Breakfast Club. It was this Breakfast Club. Is this radio?
Not the movie with Judd Nelson and Molly Ringwald.
Soulja Boy was not on the. No, on the.
Because I would like to see that.
He was not on that. No, okay. No. He didn't go back in time and put himself in.
Just
that
put
movie.
Soulja Boy in there in like Anthony Michael Hall's part.
Oh.
I would watch that movie.
Oh, shit. Wow. You get yourself $1 million idea right there.
All right. All right. You heard it here first. We're copywriting that.
Hollywood, get on it.
I'm registering the screenplay as soon as I get home.
Yeah, but no, Soulja Boy, he was on this radio morning show called The Breakfast Club. Mm-hmm. And I think they were talking about something else about Drake again. And
again with the Drake.
He's everywhere. He's all around us. He's omnipotent.
They hate the Drake.
They hate the Drake.
They hate the Drake.
Hate the Drake. But yeah, he talked about Drake, and at some point they got him all riled up, and he was like, Drake? Like, he said it like uh-huh. that.
Right.
Like the Roaches on the Raid commercials.
Right.
Like, Raid? He said it like that, and for some reason, that clip went viral, uh-huh. and so they included it in the sketch here.
Oh, okay.
So that's what that was. If you didn't see that clip, then...
Which I did not.
Then you wouldn't really get this.
And you had seen that clip before Saturday.
No. But I had known about it, and my wife showed it to me.
They talked about it at the meeting.
Yes, we talked about them. I shouldn't. How'd you know about the meeting? Whoa!
You mentioned the meeting before.
God damn it! I shouldn't even said anything. But yeah, like my wife showed me the clip, and I was like, oh, okay, so that's what they were doing.
Oh, okay.
But it's one of those things. Like SNL does this a lot, where like something will go viral. You know, mm-hmm. some video will go viral, and unless you didn't see it, then you won't get what they're referencing. Like
right.
the Gillette ad that they did last...
Right, with a Kool-Aid man.
Exactly. Yeah, like, it went viral, and, like, tons of people were talking about it, knew about it, but then there was tons of other people who have no idea what that skit was about.
Yeah, and I think that's just kind of the nature of the show. I mean, because it's a weekly or close to weekly show, they're always going to be very topical. They're going to talk about what's going on in the news, what's going on in the world of pop culture, and all that stuff. And... Yeah, sometimes this stuff might not age great, but...
Yeah. I mean, like, last week they had the hamburgers,
mm-hmm.
and, like, that's something that, you know, if you were on the Twitter all the time, like I am,
right.
then you would get it. But if you're not on the Twitter all the time, then mm-hmm. you're like, I don't get that hamburgers line. What was that?
I remember, like, years ago... Do you remember when Gangnam Style was a big thing?
Yeah.
When that was, like...
Gangnam Style!
And they had some show where they had Psy, the Korean, he was Korean, right?
Yes, the
pop artist who did Gangnam Style. He made a cameo on the show, and I remember I had no idea who it was, but it was like the huge applause and recognition because
all the youngsters, Gangnam Style, hooray!
Yeah, and I was kind of past caring about like the viral music videos by that point.
Good
so
for
I was
you.
Just like. Oh, okay. I guess that's the guy who did Gangnam Style.
I just found out what Baby Shark is like a week ago. So you're not.
You'll have to explain that to me after the show.
You don't know what Baby Shark? You don't know?
I don't think I know what. I remember Left Shark. Is it like that? Is it like Left Shark?
It's not like Left Shark.
Okay.
It's not like a Land Shark either. Or
those are like literally all the sharks I know.
Shark Tank.
The sharks from West Side Story. Was it like that?
No, it's not. No.
Where they do 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 do.
It's not like
do 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 do.
Boys, boys, crazy boys. Be cool, boy. What is going on? There's something in the air.
We went down a little Leonard Bernstein road there.
Yeah, we sing a lot.
Than we should.
We're a musical duo. So next, Kathy Ann came out, one of Cecily Strong's character.
Yeah, weren't you telling me she's done this like 8 times?
I believe before? So. Yeah. One of the Twitter people we follow tweeted that.
I think
an SNL poll or something like that. But yeah, there's like mm-hmm. 8 times she does this character.
Oh yeah, yeah. I retweeted a lot of those from the new Twitter account because they were on it with all the trivia about like Cecily's done this character 8 times. And the last time was like 2 years ago in 2006. And
yeah.
And they just had all that data, and I was very impressed by that.
Yeah, they're good. SNL polls, check, follow them.
Yes. Shout out to SNL polls.
Yeah.
And,
but yeah, so this character kind of seemed like a Kate McKinnon-esque.
I could see this woman, the Kathy Ann, living in the same trailer park as Kate's Mrs. Rafferty, the one who's always getting abducted by aliens.
Yeah, and her pants come off every time.
Yes. That's and her cooter and her hooter are sitting around.
And they always have it.
I actually want to see a sketch with those two now. I would love to see those two together and just
get it. SNL, get so, on that.
Kate, Cecily, I want to see a little crossover action happening.
At the very least, I could have like an SNL movie up with the two of them. It's been a while since we got totally an SNL movie.
Yeah.
It's been a minute. I think the last one was like MacGruber.
Probably.
Yeah, so.
Probably.
Get on that, guy.
They never got that Dyke and Fats movie off the ground.
Oh, okay.
That was the name of the sketch.
I didn't know.
I'm not allowed to use those words. Those are their words, but I have to use that name so people know what I'm talking about.
All right, you really freaked me out there for a minute. I was like, what the fuck is he saying? Whoa. Holy hell. Jeez Louise. First the rapist, now this. Oh.
Anyway.
So
the name of the sketch. Google it.
It was. I'll back
Google
you up.
Google it.
I will back you up. Yes. It's a good character. This Kathy Ann, you know, she says outrageous thing. That's great.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you, you said you didn't notice this before, but like at the very end of the Weekend Update, Michael Che signs off with, for Weekend Update, I am Bird Luger. Mm-hmm. And Colin Jost says, I'm Colin Jost. Now, for those that don't know, I didn't capture it until somebody mentioned it on Twitter. For those that don't know, Bird Luger, that's a reference to comedian Kevin Barnett, who recently passed away about a week ago.
And like very young. He was
32.
Yeah.
And for those that know, Kevin Barnett, he's a comic from the New York comedy scene. He kind of came up with Pete Davidson, Michael Che, Michelle Wolf he came up with, and he's like a really hilarious guy. I never met him really, but I know a lot of New York comedians who've known him and hung out with
and
him.
And he's also written for other shows. He wrote for Broad City.
Yes, he wrote for Broad City. He wrote for the Eric Andre Show. He wrote for Guy Code. The Carmichael Show he wrote for, and he co-produced and wrote for Little Rel Harry Show. Yeah. So he was like working behind the scenes a lot. And he was well loved. He was, a great guy from what everybody says. And about a week ago, he was vacationing in Mexico, and he put out a picture on Instagram saying, "Oh, I'm in Mexico. Great, having a great time."
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 days later, like people were saying on social media, like, "Hey, I've been hearing that like Kevin died or he's not, something like that." And it was weird. And like as the day went on, like I've been seeing more and more tweets saying, Kevin passed away, and it was,
that's some like Doug Kenny shit there.
Yeah,
that's really. I mean, Doug Kenny. In case you don't know, he was a writer for National Lampoon, one of the writers who made National Lampoon what it was. Co-wrote Animal House, Caddyshack, a big comedy person, and he died when he was on vacation. I think in the Bahamas, somewhere tropical.
Right. Yeah. Something like that. Maybe it was Hawaii.
Probably Hawaii.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen it, you should check out the movie about him on Netflix, A Futile and Stupid Gesture.
It's really good.
Really good. Great stuff. Directed by David Wayne from Wet Hot American Summer and the State fame. But I'm sorry, big tangent.
Yeah. So people like on my Facebook page, because I follow a ton of comedians from New York. They were all saying the same thing. Yeah. It sounded like we found he passed away. We don't know what happened. And then, he passed away at 32, and people were, just giving, eulogies online, sharing pictures. A ton of comics, Sam Morril, Mark Norman were saying lovely things. Michelle Wolf, Beth Stelling, I think Sinbad said a few lovely words. He tweeted out some stuff. And just a lot of, just a lot of New York comedian love were just given to.
And he was like a young guy. I'm assuming he didn't have a family or anything like that.
Oh, you mean like a...
Was he married? Did he have any kids?
I don't believe so, no. Okay. But he was 32, I think had family members left behind. I think they found that the cause of death was something with the pancreatitis. So I think it was like some hemorrhaging or something.
Oh,
like that.
Oh, jeez.
But So anyway, so when Michael Che said Bird Luger, that was
a shout out.
A tribute to him.
That's great.
Yeah. So
way to go, Michael Che.
Rest in peace, Kevin Barnett.
Yeah. Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. No.
But very classy. Michael Che to do
classy
that.
Guy, Michael Che.
Yeah, we like him.
Absolutely.
Next, we had this might have been my favorite sketch of the night, I think.
Oh,
Chronicles of Narnia, Return to Narnia, where we have James McAvoy reprising his role from the Chronicles of Narnia, Lion, right. Witch, and the Wardrobe movie,
right.
as Mr. Tumnus, who's sort of like a half goat, half man. He's got the, yes. the goat ears. He's got the he's got a scarf. He's got the goat legs.
Goat horns.
Goat horns.
And he has regular ears, but goat horns.
Yeah.
Right. And I didn't even know McAvoy was in. I mean, I didn't see Chronicles of Narnia, so like a lot of this sketch I just did not get.
This went kind of over your head.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's the same way if you weren't into Weezer. Like the mm-hmm. Weezer sketch, you wouldn't get
right.
I didn't. Right. I never saw Chronicle of Narnia, so I didn't get this yet.
You know, the thing I love about sketches like this is they're so specific. If you know that thing, you're really gonna love it. You're gonna yeah. love it all the more.
Yeah, yeah.
I should explain the sketch a little more. We had Cecily Strong come in as Christine, who is a woman who is doing an Airbnb in England, and then yeah. she went through the wardrobe and she ended up in the Enchanted Land of Narnia, right, and she right. finds. James McAvoy's Mr. Tumnus, and she confesses that she had a girlhood crush on Tumnus, and he says, oh yes, this happens to me a lot. I'm an unlikely sex symbol for
right.
a lot of women of a certain age. Like, she was in seventh grade, where she says, like, you were my Backstreet Boy. And he said, yes, you know, I get that a lot, because I'm like half an animal and I'm sort of jacked, but in a British way. And
I think they're saying he's like Frodo without the baggage and drama.
Yes, yes.
I guess this is a thing. I guess there's a certain type of woman that loves them some Tumnus.
I am certain this arose either through a discussion in the writer's room,
yeah.
where like they found out a lot of people had a girlhood crush on him as Mr. Tumnus, or right. maybe he shared that with
yeah.
the writers of the cast, and they were like, oh, we got to do something with that.
I could see that.
Because yeah. I'm sure this has come back to McAvoy a few times.
Oh, he's like, gotten like fan letters and yeah, odd
I'm sure.
emails.
I'm sure, because this is just too specific for this not to arise from something real.
People have written erotic fiction.
Maybe. I'm not going to Google that.
Yeah, don't Google that.
I'm not Googling that. I'm not Googling the Roger Stone thing.
Yeah.
I'm there's so much I'm not Googling from this show.
People, don't Google anything I say.
Don't Google anything ever.
You will get fired from your job. I can't help you after that.
But I like this. They also brought in Kate and A.D. Bryant later, and there were two other friends of Cecily's character, Christine, and they're all just gushing over Mr. Tumnus.
Right.
And then the turn at the end, we find out that he's actually gay and in a relationship with a fellow named Edmund.
Yeah. That's right. Love is love.
Yeah, and so they all decide to go out for Neville Longbottom instead.
Yeah. I guess I could see that.
Because
I guess there's a whole thing of women that love Neville Longbottom, too. I didn't even know that.
He was like the sort of
yeah, he was like
he was like the kid from Harry Potter who turned into like a real hottie when he grew
yeah.
up, right?
Yeah, like, I mean, in the books he was like a goofy kind of like right. you know, nerdy, not loser, but like he was like oh, Neville.
Yeah.
But like I think like as the stories, I mean, I have read the Harry Potter books, but as the story goes
yeah,
on,
I
Neville
not.
Has become sort of like an endearing character, and he actually does uh-huh. some pretty brave stuff in the books. But in the movies, yeah, Neville's like kind of like this goofy kind of dorky guy, and
comic
then,
relief.
Yeah, what well, kind of come? Yeah, kind of comic relief, kind of put mm-hmm. upon, you know, kind of unassuming character. But he does do some brave stuff in the movie, and mm-hmm. in real life, he's like he grew up to be this like a very handsome man. You know, it's kind of the same way that like a what's the name of like a Patrick Dempsey? Because like mm-hmm. when he was a teenager, he was like kind of a goofy teenager, but
right.
he grew up to be this
McDreamy,
like,
from McDreamy, Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, it's like he just yeah. somehow when he grew up, he got all hottie, and
right,
all
right.
the ladies are like, "Well, hello."
Yeah,
yeah.
They're like, "Patrick Dempsey can get it."
Yeah.
but I like this sketch because I know the Chronicles of Narnia. I read all those books as a kid.
Right.
There were like 6-7 books.
The
of
Chronic
them,
what?
Of Narnia.
Narnia. I can't say Chronicles of Narnia without thinking of that lady.
Absolutely,
Sunday.
Absolutely. And shout out to Chris Parnell and
right.
Andy Samberg and the Lonely Island Boys.
Baker's Dozen.
That's a classic that launched the whole digital short thing.
Huh.
Yeah, and so I saw the first movie, and it was funny because I hadn't read those books since I was a kid, and
right.
I remember watching that first movie, and I was like, oh yeah, I remember this bit.
Right.
But and they were trying to get into some of that Harry Potter, Lord of the Rings cachet.
Right.
And, you know, it's another series of books you can adapt and make a whole series of films. But I guess it wasn't successful because I don't think they made more than one or two of them.
I think it was just the one. Yeah. And for some reason, it just didn't take off like Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter.
Yeah. And who knows why. But
yeah, I don't know. Some things work.
I would have seen more of them just for the nostalgia trip, if nothing else.
Yeah. Sometimes you get the Twilight series. Sometimes you get Resurgence or whatever.
Right. Or the Golden Compass.
Yeah. Or something. Sometimes you get the Owls of Galul or whatever that one thing was called.
I've never even heard of that.
There was one like, yeah, wasn't it called like the Owls, the Guardians of Galul, the Owls? Okay. It was like all CGI. I didn't dream this.
If you say so.
All right, fine. Okay. There was something with owls. Guys, tweet at us.
All right.
Give us a call. Call in.
Call in. But anyway, I like the sketch.
Yeah, it was all right.
Cecily was doing some great character work.
She's good.
She's playing this valley girl type.
Yeah.
Very good.
She's like, her like very nervous, I'm infatuated with this thing.
And she wants to make something happen, but she's like, doesn't really have the guts to like go for it. And
right.
She's like, yeah. Oh, what am I doing?
Yeah. She's good. I like.
Really good.
Cecily Strong, one of the finest character actors in the cast.
Yep. We heart Cecily.
Yes. So let's go from that to this.
This sketch. This was I looked this up on I saw this on the SNL YouTube, and yeah. It's literally called Another Brothers.
Yes.
And like even the title is just like, yep, we're doing this shit again.
Yeah. And it's Beck Bennett and Kyle Mooney, and it's literally the exact same sketch as before. Like in the Liev Schreiber episode, they did the sketch.
Hyperactive kids. They get hosed down with a garden hose.
And they're just wearing t-shirts, like a long, Bugs Bunny t-shirts and no pants.
Oversized t-shirts. Like, yeah. they're prepubescent kids, I guess.
Yeah. And I remember the first time they did this, I was like, what?
Yeah.
And the audience was like,
what?
All right. And then they just did the exact same thing over again. They hit the same beats. They're wearing the same clothes, same set.
They changed it up, Darren. I'm going to call you on this.
Whoa.
They changed it up. They also, after they hosed them down,
yeah,
he blew them dry with a leaf blower.
Oh, all right.
Completely different sketch. And the first sketch, they crashed through the wall.
Yeah.
This time, they crashed through a television sketch. A television set.
I stand corrected.
Completely different sketch.
I stand correct. You know what? I'll admit when I'm wrong.
I hope you're feeling pretty damn foolish right now.
Beck Bennett, Kyle Mooney, accept my apologies. My deepest apologies.
But
clearly you're reshaping the genre.
I can't take it if they do this sketch a third time.
Oh my God. Flames
this
on the side of my face.
This is going to become like the new Californians.
I don't.
Or bye-bye.
Don't
or,
say
or
that.
Just like. It's just going to be one of those, why are you doing this?
I mean, it'd be one thing if they, like, changed it up. Because, like, part of me feels like, all right, if you're going to do this sketch, you saw it didn't go great the first time. So maybe you change it and tweak it the second time so you can, like, you know, switch it up so it can be different. But they didn't. They did the exact same thing.
But I think there are some people out there who, like, really, really like this sketch. I think there are some people that Beck and Kyle stuff, it really speaks to them.
Enough people to justify?
I don't know. Certainly there should be room for like oddball off the wall stuff. I don't want to see that stuff go away.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
why bring this one back?
Yeah. I just don't.
Yeah. We can't even with this sketch, you guys.
We can't even.
Ugh. Gah. Made us go full Valley Girl.
Yeah, that's our review of this sketch. It's just a depressive sigh.
God.
As John flicks back his hair and bangs.
I can't.
Can't even.
Do you have a scrunchie?
God.
I can't even, you guys.
Good. All right, so the next one is the rap video with Pete Davidson, Chris Redd. They do a lot of rap videos together. This is their
That's become their thing.
This is their milieu.
And this one's all about
bitches.
I love my bitch, and my bitch is my dog. And
right.
It's all about how I love my dog. He's always happy to see me come home.
He's
sits on my lap.
Little dog, big dog. We had Kate McKinnon with cats. Now we're going the dogs.
That's right.
Covering the gamut.
That's right. And
it's about Rap's video about how they love their dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs are pretty awesome.
Which, I love the dogs.
Where are my dogs at?
Yeah.
Who let the dogs out?
Yeah.
I don't know why I said it in Jerry Seinfeld voice right
there. Who let the dogs out?
Who let them out?
Who let them out? I don't know.
Why would you let them out?
The door was locked.
I want to know. that one's just for us, guys.
That really was, because God knows that wasn't a good enough Seinfeld impression to do.
It really was.
To be for
that was so
else.
Hack what we just said. Like, I was like, that's like the hack Schwarzenegger impression people do, or the hack Jack Nicholson people used to do in the 80s.
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Like that. But anyway.
We apologize, folks.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Apologies to Jerry Seinfeld. We know you're a huge listener.
Yes.
So, but then also in the video, they talked about, they had the women, Ego Nordum, they were talking about how they love their bunnies.
Yeah, she was talking about how bunnies are superior to dogs, which I do not agree with that premise, but it was funny for the sketch.
Yeah, I hear you. And James McAvoy, of course, where he was like sort of the crazed hype man. So I love my dogs.
He was going psycho. He was like, if you come at my dog, I will kill you. And
I will murder you in the face if you come after my dog. And everybody was like, whoa, Mark, calm down.
What's
Mark.
Going on, Mark?
Mark's got problems.
And I didn't realize, I rewatched this one too. Mm. I didn't realize Cecily Strong's in it.
Yeah,
briefly, and she was wearing a redheaded wig. I didn't recognize her at all. She was on there so quickly.
I gotta go back and look. I didn't know.
I know. She did. I don't think she had any a verse or a line or in the song or anything.
She does it all. Just, she's like a chameleon.
Yeah, I know.
Wow,
I know. Right?
Viva la Strong.
Viva la Strong.
We
Viva
are
la Strong.
Strong, strong.
This was cute. I generally enjoy the Chris Redd, Pete Davidson.
Yeah, they're good.
Raps.
They're a good team. They're a good matchup team.
Yeah,
so, I'm sure they'll do more rap videos with them in the future.
Those two have a nice chemistry together.
Yeah.
I like to see them pop up and do those.
Uh-huh.
So that's nice. And it's nice to see somebody newish like Chris Redd carving out his place in the show.
Yeah, he's doing
nice to see Ego get some
Ego's
get some more screen time.
Yeah, Ego's coming in. It's happening.
She's been like this so far this season. So
wheels
it's nice to see her getting in there.
Yeah, wheels are turning, things are moving, things are shaking.
So
and
let's see, this was our last sketch.
One.
Nolans.
Again, the exact same sketch. They did this on the Seth Meyers episode.
Yeah.
Hit the same beats, but
But they went to Cuba.
But now it's
Nolans.
And that's literally... There was even one point where Keenan Thompson's in it, but even as they're talking about Nolans, as they start to talk about Nolans, he's like, oh no, not again. he said something like that. He was saying exactly what I was thinking.
Right, right.
Like that, and that was
you were bemoaning this on Twitter during the show.
It's the same sketch.
It's the same sketch.
I feel like I'm taking
it's Kramer. The same Kramer. It's the same sketch.
It's the same sketch. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
It's the same sketch, Jerry.
It only has one look. But yeah, I mean, it's the same thing, because it's just, they hit the same beats, they're talking about how, instead of Cuba, it's New Orleans, and they're not doing anything different with it, it's the same people, it's all the same.
And, I mean, the first one was fine, but I don't think it was funny enough to repeat, and certainly not funny enough to go back to that well this soon.
Exactly, so that's the thing, it's different than, it's different like when... they do, when Kate McKinnon's character, Miss Rafferty, that's basically the same sketch over and over again. But it's...
Right.
But, they change it in enough ways that it's, a different sketch a little bit.
And I think they've also spaced that out a little more.
Exactly. They space it out more, and Kate McKinnon, she brings so much to it that it's totally different each time. And, each time makes it funnier and funnier. Or when Kate McKinnon does that, when they do that panelist sketch, and she's, that old... actress from the 40s, and she talked about she says these horrible things they used to do to her back in the 40s,
that follows the same formula.
Yeah, the same formula, but and they spaced that out too. But they literally did the sketch and the same thing in Seth Meyers, and so, Seth Meyers was a couple months ago.
So would you have liked this more if Kate McKinnon had done it?
Probably. And that's wow. All right, I think you just threw me for a loop there.
Yeah, I stumped the band.
Maybe. I mean, I like Heidi Gardner, and I know she can do different things, but I don't know if she can do enough to make this sketch different enough each time, I guess. And I don't know. It's just the fact that they just literally just did the same thing. It seemed like they just pulled out the same sketches before and just crossed out Cute Cuba.
It was like a Mad Libs version of the first one.
And it's just
and
like...
It's,
I mean, maybe
I don't want to say lazy, but it's.
I mean, the fact that this again—I think I mentioned this the last time we recorded. Like the fact that this is the second episode in the new year, and they're already bringing out these old—they're giving us like leftovers, basically. It's like, what? Why you don't have enough new sketches that you can give us? There's a second new episode.
That was disappointing.
So that's why I was like. Ugh.
But I mean,
but then again, I don't know how the writing process works. Maybe it's more difficult than I think it is. I'm just saying.
Who knows? Maybe they were trying a bunch of new stuff that didn't work and got cut dress, and then they were like, "Okay, we still have a restaurant set. Let's do this." Because who knows?
I guess,
don't know the process, but
I guess. But it's still.
Yeah, but it's disappointing to see them repeat themselves that soon.
Sticks in my craw.
Yeah.
In my craw.
So many things in your craw.
So many things.
So many things. But I mean, overall, I thought this was a pretty good episode. Those two disappointing sketches towards the end aside, I enjoyed this episode. I thought it was a step up from the Rachel Brosnahan episode.
Okay. So I like the Rachel Brosnahan one better a little bit. But I think it more...
God,
I mean, you're entitled to your wrong opinion.
Can we get over this conflict? Is this the end of the podcast?
Is this the hill you want to die on?
Are we going to break apart over this?
Oh my god!
Is this going to be like, you know, the Beatles breaking up now?
I mean, there's only two of us. So it would be like Simon and Garfunkel, I think.
Okay, that's a better analogy.
Or I guess they were the only.
Or Eurythmics.
Eurythmics. Ooh, they broke up. What? I thought they got back together.
I don't know.
Shit.
I honestly don't know.
You got to check the newsletter. All right. Well, this is how I learned.
I don't know.
Wow. I mean, I thought the Brosnahan one was better. But this one was all right. But I don't know.
I liked McAvoy as a host. I thought
he
was game,
which
is what I'm always wanting a host. I want them to be game. I want them to put themselves in the show's hands. And he brought it. He was doing all the voice work and accents and
he was good
stuff. And he's a versatile guy. I would not mind seeing him come back to host again.
I would not. I would not kick him out of the show.
I still thought you were going to say, like, I would not kick him out of bed for eating soda crackers.
I was going to, but then I was like, let me not say that. And that's what I came up with. I wouldn't kick him out of the show.
Yeah.
Improv. That's our take on the show. It was all right. It was okay. Next week, they're dark, I guess?
They are off because it's next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah,
so they probably didn't want to have a brand new show going right into that.
There's some type of sporting event happening. I don't know.
There's something about a superb owl.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I may have misread that.
Yeah.
It's like an owl that's really good. They were like, this owl is really superb.
It's an owl of Galul.
Right.
It's a really great owl.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes, I'm going to Google that. And
Guardians of Galul. Look it up. It's a thing. I swear it's a movie that came out, people.
This seems like a Berenstain Bears Mandela effect thing. But
wait, what?
We'll talk off air.
Okay. Nelson Mandela was in the Berenstain Bears?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm sorry you had to learn it this way.
Mind blown.
The show is going to be back on February 9th with Halsey as the host and musical guest.
Right, so we have 2 weeks to learn who Halsey is.
Yes.
I genuinely have no idea.
Halsey is a woman.
Yes.
I know this much. I kind of heard of Halsey before, and I've probably heard one of her songs.
Ooh.
And I feel like if I heard that song again, I'd be like, oh, yes, okay, that's that person.
Okay, there we go.
That is pretty much the extent of my Halsey knowledge.
It's like how Greta Van Fleet you thought was one woman, but it's actually a band. Halsey.
I hope that does not happen again. If we have another Greta Van Fleet situation, I'm going to have to cut a bitch.
Whoa. God damn. Damn, son.
That's right.
Wow. More like Greta Van Week. What?
So I don't know. Are we going to do a theme show for the next week when they're off for the Super Bowl? We were talking about that.
I think we are going to do it. I guess we can spoil it now, right?
Sure.
Want to or no?
Yeah, no, go ahead.
All right, so because it's the Super Bowl week, we're going to do a show we're going to do a show all about athletes that have hosted SNL. And there's a good number of them. Like, I was actually kind of surprised.
It's been a lot of them over the years. I mean, they probably get an athlete in there every year or two, I would say, every season or two.
That feels about right, yeah.
I mean, the most famous one is probably The Rock.
The Rock, yeah, because like I'm kind of on the side of like how athletes as hosts are never really great, but I mean, with the exception of wrestlers, because like there is some acting involved in wrestling.
Yeah, so. And it's very theatrical.
Yeah, so like wrestlers as actors are usually good, such as The Rock. The Rock's a phenomenal, amazing, exquisite, man. And
get lost in his eyes.
Lost in his eyes, pouty lips, firm buttocks. And there's also other...
Just let that go.
And there's other people, other athletes that have hosted. Derek Jeter, Michael Jordan.
Deion Sanders.
Deion Sanders. Tom Brady hosted.
Tom Brady. We mentioned Joe Montana.
Montana, of course.
A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
We were talking about, I think, favorite sketches or just athletes in general hosting. And
yeah, I think Peyton Manning.
I'm sure.
Gretzky. There's been George Foreman hosted. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, I remember Gretzky doing, he did like a Wayne's World thing.
Yeah,
because Mike Myers is a big hockey fan.
Yeah,
so we figured there was a lot to talk about there. So we're going to...
Michael Phelps, I think, did it once, didn't he? Maybe. Yeah.
Probably.
All right. But yeah.
So we're going to... Go into this. We're going to do a little research. We're going to look up some sketches online.
Athletes that have hosted SNL.
And if you have any suggestions for us, please tweet at us. You can tweet at us. I'm on Twitter at Trumbull Comic.
Yeah, and I'm on Twitter at Darren Credible. And check out my website, Darren Credible. I just updated it with some new shows I got coming up in Jersey and in D.C. in March.
Oh, nice. Uh-huh. Look at you.
Darren Credible. D-A-R-I-N Credible. .com.
And you can also tweet at us at our new show page on Twitter. It's at SNL Nerds Show.
Yes.
So tweet at that or use the hashtag SNL Nerds or do both.
Yeah.
And give us your suggestions. We'd love to hear them. Neither one of us are sports guys, so we could use all the help we could get on
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. We need help with the sportsing.
And let's see. We also have a Facebook page that is SNL Nerds.
Yes.
You can find us on Facebook at the SNL Nerds page.
Yeah.
Please go on to non-productive.com.
Yes.
And check out the other shows on our network and contribute to our Patreon.
Yes, give us money.
Yes.
Gimme.
Because we don't have advertisers, and anything you want to throw our way that really helps us out and helps us bring this content to you.
Let's do it.
And helps us pay for the studio space where we have to record it again
after
things get screwed up.
Yoinks.
Is that it? Are we done?
That's all we got.
Okay. So that's all we got. We hope you enjoyed this.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you come back and listen to us again. I hope this recorded properly.
God willing. I'm going to light a candle.
I am not recording this show a third time.
Oh, I can't. I don't have it in me.
I can't go on. I don't have any more in me. Okay. We need a good sign-off line.
We got to get that. Take care. Brush your hair.
We'll keep working on it.
That's improv.
But that's it for this week, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.